We just about have time for one more problem, and it's perhaps the most exciting because it's the only one to have been solved. Grigory Perelman is a quiet, unassuming mathematician from Russia who took the world of maths by storm in 2010 when he not only solved the Poincaré problem, but then refused the $1 million reward. Tom Crawford went along to the Millennium Bridge in London to meet mathematician Katie Steckles to shed some light on Perelman's story and to find out why the Millennium Bridge was in fact its own Millennium Maths problem.
Turns out when this first opened, you might remember that there was some issues with it being wobbly. They'd forgotten to take into account something called resonance, resonant frequencies, and each object has its own resonant frequency. And it just happened that the frequency that the bridge liked to resonate at best was about the same as the frequency of people walking. So to close the bridge, and they put in some kind of dampening supports to stop it from doing that. But it's still a little bit wobbly, but I think most suspension bridges are anyway, so it's fine.
It's quite windy today, but I'm feeling quite safe underfoot. And which of the Millennium problems are we looking at today?
The Poincaré conjecture, which is the first of the Millennium Prize problems to actually get solved. And I'm especially excited because it's in the area of maths that I studied, which is topology.
The main thing I remember about the very minimal topology I've done is that a donut and a teacup are the same thing mathematically.
That's true. So there's basically a concept in topology where you can consider things to be equivalent if you can get from one to the other by doing kind of a smooth change. So if you had something made out of blue tack or something you can kind of squidge around, if you can take one and deform it into the other one, but in a kind of very gradual way, you will consider those two things to be equivalent. And you can take a donut made out of plasticine and then squidge it around into a cup made out of plasticine. And that's why there is this joke about, you call a topologist someone who can't tell the difference between his donut and his cup of tea. And it's interesting how the topology view of things interacts with the real world view sometimes. Things that you wouldn't expect to be able to do, you can do. So I can be wearing a waistcoat and take the waistcoat off, turn it inside out and put it back on the other way around while my hands are handcuffed together.
So Katie's got a waistcoat on and now she's just attaching the handcuffs voluntarily, I'd like to add. Right, handcuffs are on, waistcoat's on. Let's see what you can do. And it's beautiful. It's on inside out. It looks great as well. It's covered in stars. We've got someone clapping as they walk past. They're so impressed. What Katie's handcuff waistcoat trick has shown us is how simplifying shapes down to their basic structure allows us to see them in a different light and perhaps do new things with them that we previously would have thought impossible. In some sense, this is what the Poincaré conjecture is all about. The conjecture states that any shape satisfying a set of three conditions can be deformed into a sphere. I know this sounds a little abstract, but just bear with me. Any shape that is smooth, finite, and without any holes can be deformed into a sphere. For example, math says I can squash a banana into an orange. This not only holds true in three dimensions, but in higher dimensions as well. Like there are other dimensions that we can't see, such as time, in maths there are in fact an infinite number of dimensions. The Poincaré conjecture had been shown to be true in every dimension except the fourth. And proving this was the Millennium problem. I say was, because as Katie mentioned earlier, it has now been solved by a man called Grigory Perelman.
Perelman was from Russia. He was a fantastic mathematician, and he started working on this particular problem in about 1995, so before it even became a Millennium Prize problem. And it was in 2002, he basically put up what he'd done on the internet. Perelman didn't even publish it. He didn't even submit it to a journal. He just put it on the internet. And it was kind of a bit out of nowhere. So it was kind of a really exciting time, and it became a really, really big story.
So I guess the big question is, what did he do with his prize money?
Well, that's the interesting thing, because Perelman didn't actually want $1 million. And it's one of those things that the kind of the official line is that he didn't want the publicity, he didn't want a massive change in his lifestyle, but it turns out the best way to get loads of media attention is to refuse a $1 million prize, so that kind of backfired for him. It's one of those weird stories because he's so reluctant to do any press about it, talk to people, but he is such a giant of mathematics, and I'm really glad he's proved it, because that means topology has almost won the Millennium Prize race. I guess we got the first one in.
The first one to be solved, but hopefully not the last. Tom Crawford there, speaking with Katie Steckles on the Millennium Bridge.
Now, sadly, we're nearly out of time for this week's show. Well, I reckon 4 out of 7 problems isn't bad. That's how many left?
Oh no, don't remind me.
3. Many thanks to all our studio guests this week. That's James Rudd, Tom Crawford, Marcus de Sotoy, Scott Aronson and Peter Cowley.